Good morning, good morning. Welcome to It's Time for Affordable Housing. I'm your favorite host, LaShondra Grace, the apartment lady, founder of the Apartment Housing Rentals Foundation. Hello, everyone. How are you? Oh, I have so many updates, but the most important update right now is you. And so during the recent weeks, I had to re-strategize and replan the content for this podcast. And as I was doing it, I was thinking about the audience. And so I had three sets of audience, and I'm like, okay, I have the renters, I have the landlords, I have the other NGOs, government offices, other organizations listening to the content of this podcast. But then the question arose, but who are you going to dedicate this information to? And so you guys know, I had tried to appease every one of the audiences. All three of the audiences I tried to appease. And honestly, it just dawned on me during all of the episodes and the seasons, my real audience are you, the renters. Okay, and so with that being said, I thank you guys for sticking in with me, listening, even though I was at some points talking directly to landlords and at some points talking directly to other NGOs and private sector and governmental agencies. And I realize it's you, it's the renters. I need to be talking to you. The information I have is to inform you, okay? And for that, And so let's just get into the next episode, which is about homelessness, you guys. It's time for affordable housing. It's time for affordable housing. It's time for affordable housing, okay? And so, there was an article that came out about the debt ceiling of the United States. They said that the United States was $33 trillion in debt. $33 trillion in debt. And I'm like, wow, okay. $33 trillion in debt. But at the same time, everything has seen an inflation. I mean, food costs, housing costs, gas costs. I mean, everything in the United States has seen an inflation. But what really, really, really caught my eye and really saddened me was the sight that I witnessed last week in Chicago. The South Loop in Chicago, near downtown, there's a refugee population there. But everybody in Chicago knows that we have our highest concentration of homeless downtown Chicago. I mean, that's in most metropolitan cities. The homeless population usually are in the downtown areas, right? But what saddened me was I kid you not. You can go down there and see yourself. Like on 20 something estate, I saw homeless people begging refugees. I'm like, what's going on? So I went to see, you know, what was really going on. And I noticed that there were housing settled in that area. And I'm like, okay. Chandra, this right here, this is a moral dilemma that should not be. And it's definitely something that can divide and cause strife amongst people. Now, America is known for, you know, helping other people. I mean, it's the melting pot. It's America. It's built up of different type of races and so forth. We all get that, right? I mean, even in 2015, we had the same situation happen, because I've been doing a little research trying to see, you know, what's really going on. But there are so many homeless American people. There's no way that a homeless American should be asking a refugee for anything. How fair is that? Me, with my big heart, I want to help everybody. Okay. I wish I can help everybody. You know, I'm talking to people about putting the eviction prevention and the affordable housing program in Ghana and in Nigeria. I have the opportunity and I have hands to do some housing projects in India. I mean, so yeah, I want to help everyone, right? But we all know you have to take care of home first. I can't help anyone if my own homeland is suffering. How would it look if I go to another country and create a successful housing program when I haven't been able to do it in my own land? And that is what I'm seeing. And so I started to do a little bit of research, and here it is, right? So in recent years, the United States, you know, we have faced a complex and divisive issue. I say it's divisive because we Americans should not, you know, be angry or not want to help other people. We are all people. Regardless of where we come from, we are all people, right? But when you're in your own home and you see others who don't... Okay, I'm going to put it like this. You have your own home. You know, you got your white picket fence. You got the American dream. You know what the American dream was, you know, all those years ago. Two cars, garage, house, white picket fence. You got that. You have that. But then you own your house outright. How about you don't even have a mortgage? You're just paying taxes, right? So then the government tells you, you know what? We need your help. And they decide to house 10 people in your house. Now, you can't get a room, so you only have a 2-bedroom house. So they said, you need, we need to put four people in that room, that bedroom, 4 people in that bedroom. And they tell you to sleep in your basement. How would you feel? How would you feel if you're forced to sleep in your basement while someone else, other people are sleeping in your bed, the bed that you made, the covers that you worked hard for? You're making coffee in your basement while they're using the espresso machine. This is how this looked, America. This is how it looked to us, especially housing advocates. We're like, oh my gosh, we're trying to stop evictions. We're trying to stop homelessness. It was another report from the Wall Street Journal that just said senior citizens are becoming, you know, the highest population of the homelessness. We're trying to prevent that. We want to make sure that the baby boomers, who are supposed to be taken care of, are taken care of. Families with children can't really go to school, and the ones that do go to school and homeless children are cruel, have to face other children and all the instability. This is what's going on. We're talking about the working population that's homeless. Most working homeless people usually have 2 jobs. They're staying in hotels, paying about $2,000 to $3,000 a month in hotels because they can't get the money up at one time, or they have bad credit, or because they didn't, you know, use up all their credit card power, they have an eviction because of the pandemic, right? I'm gonna say because of the pandemic, and I'll explain that. Okay, so they can't even qualify for a place, but then you move other people into the country, into an apartment that was taken, that an American family was evicted out of, and then you pay the rent. And so I went to a couple of sites, and I just want to read this one story. I know it came out, it's Newsweek. It was written by Pamela Denise Long, and it came out 12/29/2022, but I just want to read this for you guys, just a little bit of it. The title is, "Why Are We Spending Millions Housing Illegal Migrants While Americans Go Homeless?" So she go on to say, while December winter storm saw U.S. citizens frozen to death in their cars and falling streetside in snowbanks, our migrant obsessed legislators sent another screw you to the American people in the form of beefed up assistance for illegal immigrants. Okay? Just goes on. Keep going on. Okay? Year-round, millions of Americans are homeless or one paycheck away from being on the streets. 40,000 veterans are homeless across the nation, and 40% of our homeless population is Black. So there is an extra treachery in passing a spending bill that includes $800 million in grants to build shelters for foreigners and illegal aliens. Theoretically, everyone deserves to have shelter and protections from the elements. Yet, it is not America's responsibility to house the world, particularly when our own homeless citizens have fought long and a hard battle for access to clean and safe shelter. I'm like almost in tears. I don't know why. Just kind of got overwhelmed because our own people are homeless. Our own taxpayers are homeless. Our own citizens are homeless. Our own children are homeless. But they're paying for other people to come over here and stay. They're paying their rent. Rent for an apartment where a family was evicted out of. They're making it so the landlords can deny renters because they're promising the landlord, if you house these immigrants, these migrants, refugees, we'll pay you just like a Section 8 voucher. And so as a landlord who's in it for money, and I'm not mad at the landlords that because they're in it for money, because we need the landlords, okay? So I'm not mad at the landlords. Who wouldn't want stable income when they just went through what they went through in this 2-year eviction moratorium? Who wouldn't want that? But to put that in front, dangle that in front of their face and make them choose from housing an American family to housing the refugees, that's not fair. Where I know this world is so messed up, but oh my gosh, I couldn't believe it. I saw it with my own eyes. I saw, you know, that refugee community, and I saw the homeless community. And I saw the refugees walking up, asking, you know, somebody selling cigarettes. where the homeless walked up and said, can somebody give them a cigarette? I'm like, really? What is going on? I'm looking at them. I saw people who don't even speak English trying to communicate. And I saw people that do speak English get brushed off because they were homeless or because they were dirty. The refugees, they kind of looked alike, really. Okay, let's. It says, according to the economist at the University of Chicago, more than 500,000 Americans experience homelessness every day. But there are just about 300,000 beds for homeless Americans. That means just 2 out of 3 homeless people across the United States can find temporary housing. The remainder are literally unsheltered. Literally. I know this. I see this. I get the calls, the emails, messages. And yet, despite this crisis, homeless Americans are being displaced to house illegal migrants. Tensions flared last fall in New York City when homeless Black Americans were removed from their shelter to be replaced by illegal aliens. I have no idea why we're being replaced for them. Why are we being moved and shuffled around, one woman asked. We have a housing crisis in this country, yet millions are being spent to house people who aren't even American, while low-income Americans go without. New York City has passed $600 million to house migrants through its public housing resident Live Squalor. Resident Live Squalor. The city is going to put forth a ton of money for these people who aren't even citizens, but they forgot about the people who live in public housing right now. The worst, and it goes on to say, I'm not going to read the whole thing. The worst part about this crisis, the worst part about it is this crisis was totally preventable. The U.S. border crisis is not naturally occurring. Extra demand for housing is not due to organic market forces. Instead, President Biden sent a signal to the world that the U.S. has no boundaries, and everybody heard it. Because of it, we have been forced to assume, you know what, I have to just read what she wrote. Because of Biden, we have been forced to assume responsibility for sheltering, feeding, and monitoring millions more people. Whew. I'm telling you, you guys, it's not good. And so then I read another one where I'm like, you know, because I'm reading these stories. I'm like, okay, what's really going on? I'm reading these stories. And so I read this other story where it says Ukrainian refugees in the U.S. will receive a pension and health details, right? The U.S. will start paying pensions and also provide health insurance to Ukrainians who arrive in the country after the war began. Okay, and so here it is. Retirees from Ukraine who arrive in the U.S. after the outbreak of full-scale war will be able to receive the government supplemental security income, that's SSI, pension. This was reported by the Office of Refugees Resettlement of the United States Department of Health and Human Services. SSI is a government pension paid to low-income people over age 65 or people with disability. What amount of the pension will be paid to the Ukrainians? The amount of the payments depends on the state which refugees reside. In 2023, the minimum will be $914 per month for a single person or $1,371 for a married couple. You to apply for To apply, contact your nearest Social Security Administration office. And, okay, you need to have a passport, Social Security number, and so forth. If you're applying for a disability pension, you must provide you must provide information about the diagnosis, treatment, and contact details of the doctors. Now, okay, how are you going to contact the doctors in Ukraine, right? This is for the refugees to get SSI. They're calling it a pension, but it's disability, Social Security disability, we always call it SSI, right? But it's really supplemental security income. That's a pension. And, you know, they're going to get it. It's going to start at 914. Start at 914, kind of depend on what state you're in. But that also includes, if they don't get that pension, then you can get financial support through TANF, which is Temporary Assistance for Needy Families, medical insurance through Medicaid, Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, that's SNAP, food assistance, food stamps, so you know, link card, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. And, but at the same time, you guys, I'm reading emails where is this? Where somebody, you know, I'm homeless. I'm getting ready to get evicted. I just had a call with a gentleman and his father who are on their way to court, to eviction court, both of them disabled. Yeah. This is what's going on, and it's not fair to put the American people, particularly renters, in a position where they feel like the immigrants are their opposition. But at the same time, you made the immigrants their opposition, because now you put the immigrants over the renters, over American low-income renters, by providing them shelter and not providing your homeless population shelter. You put them at a divide by dangling the carrot of the landlords getting the rent paid every single month by the government over taking one of the low-income or minimum wage workers as a tenant. Come on. I don't get it. You guys, tell me what you think about this. Because this is a conversation that we need to have. I don't understand. And so, yeah. Tell me what you think about this. You're listening to It's Time for Affordable Housing. And mind you, you guys, I want to help everybody. I'm not mad or angry or upset at anyone. Because all of our goal is to be safe, is to, you know, live, is to have your necessities, shelter, food, clothing, because God did not build human beings to weather the element. We can't weather the element. We can't just sit out and not have shelter when it's 110 degrees outside. You can get cancer. You can get sunburn. We can't sit in the rain. You can get pneumonia. We can't just be out in the snow and when the temperature drop to a certain degree. We can't do that. Right? We're not built for that. And so it is imperative that we need shelter. We need shelter just as much as we need food. Just as much as we need water, just as much as we need cold, we need shelter. It's a necessity. It's a necessity. Tell me, we need to talk about this. Follow me on LinkedIn. Follow me, you know, on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter. I'm going to post this episode as many places as I can, because we need to talk. We need to talk about this. What can we do to let the government know that, come on, What are you doing? What are you doing to your own people, to the taxpayers? I don't care how much. I don't care if you make minimum wage. You're paying taxes. What about them? What about your own people? You're listening to It's Time for Affordable Housing. I'm LaShondra Graves, the apartment lady, founder of the Apartment Housing Rentals Foundation, CEO of Eviction Space. Yeah. Let's talk about this. We got to come up with some solutions. And guess what? It's going to take a village, right? And so you need to be vocal about this. Okay.